When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It sure is. I know that guy.
All right, that's the Beeps.
Yep, that's a good one. That's
you see the Stephen Baldwin? Isn't that his father-in-law?
Yes.
Was wilding out on social media, right? They were talking about he was... Did you see the video?
Yeah, he was saying things about... like Haley and then also his brother.
Yeah.
People were worried about his health,
they were
mental
like,
health.
Hey, you straight?
Yeah. He's had some issues, though, mm-hmm. the past couple of years. All right, back to the news. We talked about the break-ins at Jaylen Brown's mother's house in Wellesley on Sunday, and now police in Wellesley and Newton are saying that there was a break-in at Celtics assistant coach Emile Jefferson's house while the team was playing in D.C. Now, nothing was taken from Jaylen's mom's house, but Jefferson's 2024 NBA championship ring was taken in that break-in. That sucks. And so obviously the two break-ins in the same day from people on the same team, this is tied
inside job.
I don't know about an inside
like
job,
Courtney. The meaning
you
of
and
an,
I think inside
job
means
different
things.
Somebody who knows you, something
right,
that's, like that's connected in some way, whether they work for the team, whether they work at the arena, whether they landscape, whether they do a dry cleaning, that's all that means.
But I don't think you needed it doesn't need to be an inside job because everybody knows their schedule. So everybody knows that Emile Jefferson is not home because he's away in D.C., just like Jaylen Brown. Now, I don't know why they thought Jaylen Brown's mom was going to be away.
But can you just like, right? And I don't know. Can you just Google Jaylen Brown's
address
or the other.
That's a good point.
So, like, you know, I guess you might be able to find Jaylen Brown's address, but could you find his mother? I mean, when I say inside job and you said it was two Celtics players
day. It was Jaylen Brown's mom's house and Emile Jefferson's house.
Right. So two Celtics family members, connections, coach, whatever, on the same day?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a little bit.
It's connected. They're connected.
Right. So it's like, all right, here's what we know the schedule. Because, you know, you don't know when they leave. You don't know. You don't know who's at the house.
Yeah.
Just because the players are gone, you don't know if there's family members there. So when I say inside job means somebody that might be around them. Don't have to be family, friends, or anything like that. It could be, they said, it could be the dry cleaner.
Yeah.
You know, or the person who cuts the grass. And I'm not saying it's them, but that's all inside job means. It's just somebody connected in some way that says, oh, this is where Jaylen's mother lives. This is where the coach lives. She's going to be out of town on this day, or he's going to be out of town on that day.
But how much does that suck? If you're a professional athlete right now, now you have to add that to your plate where you're worried about people knowing your schedule going. And I don't know why it's specifically this year that all of a sudden these rings have started to produce and break into all these houses.
This has been happening for a while.
But this is the first year that leagues have actually reached out to players and said, you need to actually be careful.
Yeah. But the break-ins have been happening. Like you've seen a lot of it in California, whether it was celebrities or
Ring
entertainers. It's just you got these You know, we used to call them stick-up kids back in the day. You got people that are trying to get paid. They want to go into somebody's house that they feel like got some money or got valuables, and you just got to be careful. That's why I would always recommend, and I know it's very difficult. We talked about this yesterday. If you can, for you, live in like a building penthouse, or if you can put your family member in there. And I don't know Jaylen Brown's situation. You know, maybe his mother wanted more of a house, and I get it. You do your best to secure it the best way you can with cameras.
Do you think more people will do what Tua's done, Wiggy, and hire like personal security for when he's away?
Yeah, I think especially if they can afford to do that.
Yeah.
We always had pit bulls. I was like, because you couldn't really hire security. So as we always had a dog that was intimidating in presence. So that if the dog heard something, would bark, and that could at least spark you to be thinking of, okay, I got to be careful. But yeah, you just
scare some people.
Nowadays, some of these psychos out there, they don't give a crap. And so you got to protect your family and loved ones the best way you can.
Well, we can hear from an area resident speaking to BZ.
I think it's really scary to think about because they're basically stalking them just to see if they can get into their homes.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's the social media stuff, like social media dropping your location or here's where you are. And you try to post on there and just, showing people, you do it like you show people what you're doing and where you're going. Hey, we're going up to, Vermont this weekend. And it's like, you got to be careful. Save that for
when you get home.
Yeah. Never let people know that you're gone.
Yeah. And speaking of dogs, a man in East Boston facing 12 animal cruelty charges, 27-year-old Armani Doshi appeared in court yesterday. He's accused of abusing his 1-year-old German Shepherd, Savannah. Savannah was rescued yesterday morning after others in his apartment complex took videos of him picking up Savannah by the collar to the point that Savannah couldn't even walk. She couldn't. It's terrible. I mean, people that do this to dogs.
Why even have a dog if this is what you're going
to
do?
Straight to prison. Yeah. Straight. Police found her in a closet without food or water. Terrible. If you're watching on Twitch or YouTube, you can see Savannah. I hope Savannah finds a forever home. Whoever gets Savannah, very lucky, and treats her right. Here's Lieutenant Alan Borgel of the Animal Rescue League of Boston on BC.
We've got multiple witnesses. He drags this dog, choking it by the neck and everything. This has been going on a long time. We were very concerned about the dog, and we're glad that we were able to seize it today.
Like I said, I said it with parents. Some people shouldn't have kids. Some people shouldn't be pet owners.
Yeah.
If you can't, if you don't have the patience to do it, or if you have a short fuse because the dog might be doing dog things or kids that some people
like
shouldn't.
Just take it to a shelter. Like,
I
really don't want to take care of it. Why even have it?
Yeah. And it's so crazy when you actually have a dog and the dog is solely there to just give you love. And like a dog doesn't want anything from you except for you to care for them. Yep. And to treat a dog that way is a trash human being. This story is nuts. The Charlotte Hornets are in hot water and looking to make things right. Have you guys seen this story?
No.
Oh, they gave a PS5 to a young fan during an in-game contest segment on the Jumbotron. Very, very nice. If you're watching on Twitch or YouTube, you can see the Hornet gifting it, dressed as Santa, whatever. Once they got off camera, however, they took back the PS5 and gave the kid a Hornets jersey.
What?
Yeah,
it was all
this
for show.
That's like a $400 difference.
Right.
Correct. Obviously, this got out. People, the family members of this boy took to the internet, and the internet did what it does. The Hornets have now released a statement saying, during last night's game, there was an on-court skit that missed the mark. The skit included bad decision-making and poor communication. Simply put, we turned the ball over and we apologize. They now say that they are finding that fan, that young boy, and giving him the PS5. I don't know how this happens.
Yeah.
Like, this is PR 101 how to put yourself in a terrible situation.
Ken would be losing his mind that they were going to give him a gift and then not actually give him the gift.
Where's their legal team?
Right? Mm. Who? Where is the producer to figure out what the hell they're doing?
Isn't the skit supposed to be all on camera?
Yes.
Right? So that, you know, isn't that the, so if you were going to have to make it funny, you would have did it all on camera.
Right, where you take it back, give him the jersey. You know, this was to make it look like you guys were giving a great gift.
Right.
And then behind the scenes do that. We do have audio of them giving him the PS5.
Dear Santa Hugo, I have been working hard in school all year and making sure my grades are A's. I have also been working on my junk shop, but my junk shop in 2K needs some work. I'd really love a PlayStation if you have one. P.S. A PlayStation 5. Wait, Hugo, not the one my dad used to play with the square rounds. Happy holidays, friend.
Hmm. Crazy.
The skit is like when you see the videos when somebody goes, I want a PS5, and then they open up the box and it's a PlayStation 2 and a PlayStation 3 next to each other.
Yep.
That's like it. That's the skit.
That's terrible.
Yeah, that's effed up.
Now we go to 28-year-old Derek Ott from Saugus, a former bank teller. He is accused of embezzling more than $180,000 from two customers' accounts. The U.S. Attorney's Office announced yesterday that one of the victims noticed missing money, and then Ott tried to cover it up by moving money from another victim's account into theirs. Obviously, this raised some red flags. Ott is charged with embezzlement by a bank employee. If convicted, he faces a sentence of up to 30 years in prison, 5 years of supervised release, and a $1 million fine. Crazy. And we're going to end with Tony Busby. He is under fire right now.
That's your boy.
Well, no, not my boy. I believe the first time I ever came on this show, it was during the Deshaun Watson massage parlor issues. And I said it was interesting that Tony Busby is flashing, you know, how wealthy he is on all these crazy vacations. And he represents all of the women.
Yep.
So that was the first time Tony Busby kind of came across our desk. Now, of course, he is representing the accusers in the Diddy and Jay-Z situation. But a former client of Busby, a woman identified only as Jane Doe, has come out and is accusing him of committing various abuses during his time as her divorce attorney. These alleged offenses include legal malpractice, assault, and fraud. The lawsuit comes a month after Busby was sued by Jay-Z for alleged extortion. Mm-hmm. Busby called the Roc Nation's founder's complaints aggressive attempt to intimidate or silence me, and ultimately my clients. Busby believes that this latest accusation is also tied to the Jay-Z P. Diddy scandal. I don't think that Tony Busby is a good guy.
So you can't believe nothing he says when he says, oh, I have 50 women who have come out and said Deshaun Watson did this. Now it's Jay-Z did that. There was even a story that I saw that he was going to women and basically like, hey, make stories up about Jay-Z.
But I don't think that that has been...
No, it hasn't been confirmed. But if you start, like you say, if you start to see this guy and he looks like a snake and he's doing all these things, that's why it's like when there are, and Jay-Z said it, like when there are actually people that are assaulted, it's hard for people to believe,
right?
Because you got guys like this who are just, you know, rolling out anybody.
Yeah, very interesting. And just go back to the PS5 story we were talking about. Dan from Nashua has something to say. Dan, good morning.
Hey, guys. Good morning. You guys are doing a great job today.
Thank you. Dan, what high school did you go to in Nashua?
I did not go to high school in Nashua. I went to Shawshing Tech in Billerica.
Shucks.
Yeah, but I grew up in Tewksbury right next door to you.
Oh, okay.
So I just want to comment. I don't know if you guys read that full story, but I read the story this morning, and supposedly the Hornets had told the uncle that it was kind of just for show and that they were going to take it back, but the uncle never told the kid.
Oh.
Still.
So the Hornets, I mean, go ahead, Courtney, I'm sorry.
No. You're right that they did do that, but I still think it's a bad look to go on camera in front of all of your fan base and make it look like you're giving a PS5
to a you're just trying to fake everybody out. Like, you can't do that.
Oh.
No, I agree, but it still shouldn't. I mean, it's not as bad as it sounds when you just read the headline. That's all I'm saying. That the uncle kind of dropped the ball by not telling the kid. But that's all. I just wanted to add that. Thanks, guys.
That's fair.
I didn't know that. And what, so Thanks, I Dan. Guess I would ask Charlotte, like, what's the purpose? So it was just the PR stunt?
Yeah, to look good.
It's to look good, which is terrible.
It's right. Such a dumb idea. Either give a PS5 away or don't. Like, right. You could have just given the kid a jersey instead of a PS5, and everybody would have been like, yeah, cool, happy, you know, enjoy the jersey. Good for you.
Yeah. Terrible. And as somebody who used to live in Charlotte, the Hornets need to do a better job overall, because those games are not...
I don't think any of the sports teams in Charlotte are necessarily thriving at the moment.
I don't know. The Checkers games back in the day, the AHL team, those games were pretty good.
Checkers?
Yeah, the Charlotte Checkers. Okay. Yeah, they're the AHL team.
An AHL team?
Right.
Isn't Checkers also a fast food joint?
It is.
Yeah,
it is.
But those games were fun.
I lived in Charlotte. Charlotte's a nice...
I loved it.
It's a nice place. I enjoy it. Nice vibe.
Good food.
It's good food, good nightlife. The cost of living is cheap.
Yeah.
It's got a little bit of everything for you.
Yeah, the nightlife is pretty good down there. All right, well, that was the news. Thank you guys for entertaining me and letting me read it, as always. Here is What's Trending.
Now, here's What's Trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by The 99. Celebrate the season at The 99 restaurant with friends, family, and our incredible New York strip and lobster casserole. The Celtics fall to the Bulls 117-108. The Seas made 14 out of their 56 attempted threes. They also came out of this one with three techs. We did hear what Joe Mazzulla had to say about the refs during They Said It. If you missed that, you can listen to it on the Odyssey app. Jason Tatum had a double-double with 31 points and 10 rebounds in the loss. They have another shot with the Bulls in Chicago tomorrow at 8 p.m. The Bruins also falling in Edmonton. This one went to OT after the Bees came out strong in the first period. 3-2 the final, with Jeremy Swayman making 23 saves in the loss. In Thursday Night Football, had the Chargers beating the Broncos 34-27. Justin Herbert threw for 284 yards, two touchdowns, and an interception. On Saturday, the Chiefs have the Texans, and the final injury report indicates Patrick Mahomes is A-OK. He is good to go. And it's time to get excited, college football fans, because the college football playoffs can be heard right here on WEEI. Indiana Notre Dame coverage starts tonight at 7:30 after Travis Thomas. And a tender flame broiled 8-ounce New York strip paired with a rich, delicious, buttery lobster casserole. That sounds pretty good. You gotta love the nines. That's what's trending. Here's Shime with your weather.
Yeah, I got duped into thinking Patrick Mahomes wasn't going to be playing on Saturday, and so I made bets on the Houston Texans prematurely, so
Why did you hedge out of those so early?
Yeah, it was a mistake. I may need to hedge out of those. I regret it immediately.
Oh, so you bet the Texans?
Yeah, I didn't think Patrick Mahomes was going to play. I didn't think the number was going to get... any better for the Texans. I didn't want to lose out on it, and now I regret it entirely.
Still a good bet. It's in Houston, right?
Yeah. It's in KC.
Oh, it's in KC.
Yeah.
So Patrick Mahomes is going to be limited if it's a high ankle sprain. He's not going to be as mobile. Houston has a pretty good defensive front. They can get after the quarterback. Is Will Anderson playing?
I don't know.
Okay. So, I mean, it's still a... I think it's still a pretty good bet because of the Mahomes injury.
Today,
and we know Mahomes and the Chiefs...
aren't as good as they have
well,
been.
Well, they win, but, you know, it's close games that they're winning.
Yeah. And it is a payday today, so I will be making somewhat of a parlay for Sunday.
There you go.
And ooh, I'll do it for the paid. Weekend. I'll do Saturday and Sunday.
A little
Sunday.
Drake May parlay?
Yeah. There you go.
Maybe.
A little Johnny Kemp rejoin. It's Friday night, and you just got paid.
Yes, absolutely.
It is currently 34 degrees here in the city of Boston. The high today is 38. You might see some snow flurries as you're making your way to work this morning or getting your coffee, whatever you're doing. If you're working from home, maybe you're out just grabbing coffee, listening to us. The snow should dissipate here, though, within the next hour or so. And we should see some more snow later this evening, maybe even a little accumulation, but more so just a dusting this evening after dinner time.
That was Alex Van Pelt talking about Drake May and protecting their quarterback for the last three games of the season. And I got to think of Drake May hearing that. He must be pissed. Like, I think Drake May wants to show what he can do.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think when you think about Jerod Mayo, Alex Van Pelt, their jobs are on the line. We all believe that. Right. I mean, I don't think they're going to be saying goodbye to Jerod Mayo, but fans are calling for their jobs. So to only focus on Drake May and protecting your quarterback instead of winning games, mm-hmm. that's an issue.
But when you talk like that, it doesn't come across as like you feel like your job's on the line. It comes across as like, We don't want to get this guy hurt. We want him to be healthy and ready to go for next season.
Right.
Then that's what it doesn't sound like Alex Van Pelt is thinking, like, my job's on the line. It thinks like, well, I want to make sure these last couple of games, I don't put Drake in harm's way with design quarterback runs. And I need him to be healthy come this offseason so we can, you know, focus on what we need to do to get better moving forward for next year.
But in the last 2 days, we've put a lot of focus on the last three games of the season. And on a four-game losing streak, Jerod Mayo, what does he need to do to show that he deserves to be here next season? Mm-hmm. Shime, I don't know where you fall when it comes to Jerod Mayo. If you want, I know that you said you think he's been coaching soft, he's been coaching scared.
Yep.
A few different adjectives you've used to describe him. But do you want him gone for next season?
I mean... For the right option, right? Like, if you're telling me Mike Vrabel's your next head coach, then yeah, sure, I'd probably like to move on from him. I don't think they will, though. So I think it's kind of pointless for me to wish cast who I would want as the Patriots head coach, because I don't think he's going anywhere. And I think Alex Van Pelt is clearly not going anywhere either, because if he felt like his job was in jeopardy at all, he would be doing everything he can to win football games to make sure his job isn't in jeopardy. And by not doing that, it tells me he feels very secure in his spot as offensive coordinator. I don't think he has any belief that he's going to get fired this offseason, and that's why they're doing everything they can to protect Drake May for next season when they think they might actually be able to compete a little bit.
Well, and if they don't think that they're getting fired right now, or if those reports are true that Jerod Mayo's already gotten assurance that his job is okay for year two, mm-hmm. Nobody really thinks that they're going to win these last three games. I mean, you've got the Bills twice, the Chargers once. I don't see them winning any of them.
But that's why if they do win one,
it's great.
Looks even better.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I think nobody expects them to win. So if you are able to pull one and miraculously get two out of the three, then it's like, okay, now we're cooking with something here as we go into the offseason and get ready for next year.
Well, it's weird because there are like these reports and, well, not reports, but I don't remember if it was Greg Bedard or if it was Burt Breer that I saw talking about it. But just that, like, Mayo is these last three games, he's kind of coaching for his job.
Like, how?
Well, I'm just saying, this is like the whispers are. And I don't know, Shime.
Yeah, I think that was Bedard.
Okay, if there's audio where, like, the whispers are from wherever he's getting these whispers from coming from the building that the Crafts are really looking at these last three games. And if they kind of don't look good and they get their doors blown off in these last three games, then there's a chance that the Crafts might move on from Mayo. So I don't know how much you believe that.
I just don't know what he can prove in the last three games. You've got three hard matchups against two teams.
Maybe you lose close ones. You don't get blown out.
But okay, so you lose close ones. You're still losing these games. I don't know how, and I wish that Greg or Curtis were here, because I think those two have been pretty vocal about wanting Jerod Mayo gone. And so if you want him gone, is there any way in your mind that he could switch it around in the last three games? This team's not going to win the game.
Well, but if they play tough and they lose the game by a field goal and they were in the game, and let's just say it was a, you know, guy drops a ball or an offensive lineman gets beat and that's how you lost the football game, and Mayo coached the game up good and it was a good defensive game plan, it was a good offensive game plan. You played Buffalo tough, you played the Chargers tough, and you lost those games by, say, you know, less than 7 points. I think that some of the people that might be like, because we had this conversation yesterday, it might have been yesterday with Greg, when he was like, well, look how the Detroit Lions and Dan Campbell finished the season where they lost three games. They won three of their final six games.
Yeah, that's kind of bogus, though, because to start the next season, they started 1-6.
Like, right, no, I kind of agree with you, Shine, but I'm just saying, from the people that want to see Mayo gone, if you lose tough games and close games these last three games,
but they're not even, for the most part,
they change the mindset a little bit.
They're not even talking about the actual games. Like, when they want Jerod gone, they're going to these press conferences, mm-hmm. and things that Jerod Mayo said and walked back, which I said this yesterday, Shime, I know you weren't here. It, to me, it's crazy, because 2 years ago, when Bill Belichick wasn't saying anything, and I brought up, you know, well, media members or fans are getting sick and tired of how Bill handles press conferences or interviews when they're losing, and I was told over and over again, I don't care about that. I don't care about that. I don't care about what Bill says to the media. I only care about what's going on the field. So now Jerod Mayo comes in, and all of a sudden, all we care about is what he's saying, what he's not saying, what he's walking back. So people
that's because because he's a first-year head coach, and people think when he's doing that, that's a lack of experience. Greg always brings up leadership, and if your head coach is, you know, wavering when he speaks after the game and then he has to walk back things, Greg's point is, how is this guy the right leader for your football team?
But so, I think there's misplaced anger then. Everybody's angry at Jerod Mayo when they should be angry at the Crafts for putting a guy who was so green in that position, right? Like, it's not Mayo's fault that he's never done this before and then was given the job. If you're ever offered a job that you're unqualified for, you're not going to turn it down just because you're unqualified. You're going to accept it and try and do it and get better at it and figure it out as you go, especially because it's such a big pay bump and there's not that many opportunities for this in the world. Like, there's 32 of these jobs. Mm-hmm. That's it. And so I think that a lot of people have misplaced anger. It's like Jerod Mayo's learning on the job as he goes. He has never done this before at any level. High school, Wiggy had more head coaching experience entering this season than Jerod Mayo. That's a fact.
That's not true, though, because Jerod Mayo's been coaching for the last 6 years.
But he has never been a head coach, Wiggy. But he's been a position coach defensive coordinator.
Shine, but that is the case for the majority of new head coaches that hired.
I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying that
Campbell never had head coaching experience. He never called plays.
Actually, he had been an interim twice.
Yeah, but that doesn't technically count. He never called plays. McDaniels never was a head coach. Didn't call plays when he was in San Francisco. If Ben Johnson gets hired, guess what? He's never been a head coach before. Has he called plays? Yes. But that doesn't mean anything. Bobby Slowick, same thing. Never been a head coach. He's going to be first-year experience, learning on the job. Most guys, unless you're a guy like Vrabel or you're a guy like Harbaugh or you're a guy like Dan Quinn who's hired by the Washington Commanders, those guys have had head coach experience. If you're telling me, if people go fire Mayo, hire Ben Johnson, guess what? Ben Johnson has never been a head coach in the National Football League, same way Mayo wasn't.
Yep.
So he's probably going to run into some problems too. If you're like, fire Mayo, hire Vrabel, at least you can say Vrabel has had head coaching experience.
All right, let's hear from Dave. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Courtney. I got a quick question, quick comment. I was trying to catch Curtis there the other day because he keeps saying the same thing, and Wiggy just made my point. As Jerod Mayo has been there for 5 years coaching, and Curtis keeps saying he inherited this roster. He didn't inherit this roster. He got hired on January 14th of this year. He knew what he had. So going into the game, into the season, he knew what his team was.
Yeah, yeah.
Opportunity to change it and add to it, but he didn't.
Well, see, then I would think that
Elliot Wolf, though.
Yeah,
thanks,
like,
Dave.
That's not a Mayo problem.
No. Like,
Mayo wanted to burn some cash. He said it on our show.
Yeah. And I think he was promised that. I keep going back, and that's why I asked him that question 2 weeks ago, where is this first-year head coaching experience what you expected? Have you been given all the tools to be mm-hmm. successful? I think that when he was offered this position, obviously nobody would turn it down, but he was probably promised, hey, we're going to open the checkbook. We're going to give you everything that you need. We're going to give you the guys that you want, and that's not what ended up happening. And I don't understand how Jelani Tavai, who's great on every time we talk to him, he's so kind with his time. He's honest. But to talk about how it's another good week of practice, I don't think this defense is going to make any strides in the last 3 weeks. Like, you keep every single week we've talked about missing tackles.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you can look and say that the defense is going to get any better. I mean, I think that you've got to completely revamp that part of the game.
Well, yeah, that means you need a new defensive coordinator.
Course, but that's
and he's
going to
be the scapegoat this year. DeMarcus Covington will probably be the one to lose his job, and AVP and Jerod Mayo, in my mind, are totally safe.
But the true blame, if you're really looking at it, is on the Crafts, because did they tell Elliot Wolf, like, we're not spending money?
Bingo.
And then if they told Elliot Wolf we're not spending money, then Jerod probably's thinking, all right, I know what the roster looks like. It's not very good, but I'm not going to turn down a head coaching job. I know what I'm inheriting, but we're going to make some changes and we're going to add to it. But if the Crafts are like, well, we don't want to spend any money and we don't want to spend at the top of the market, then you're not really adding good pieces to a roster that's already, that's not very good. And this is what happens. You get first-year head coach with that inherits a bad team, that inherits inherits a roster that's not very good. This is what you see. Three and nine? What's their record?
3-11.
3-11.
And they tell you, too, like last offseason, they didn't love the players and the prices tags that were on those players in free agency. Well, I hate to tell them, the offensive line free agents this year are not any, like, are definitely no better and probably worse than they were last year. Like, you could have gotten better guys in free agency last year on the offensive line than you could this year, because the best guy that was going to be a free agent just re-signed on the Denver Broncos on a four-year deal. He was the best left tackle available, and he's now off the market. So, I mean, I look at the upcoming free agency, and it's not any better than it was last year. So, are they now going to spend money on guys who are even worse than the guys last year? That doesn't make sense either.
Well, I think Phil agrees with you in New Hampshire that the Crafts maybe sabotage Mayo. Here's Phil. Morning, Phil.
Good morning. Yeah, I'm not a Mayo fan, but I will say Gerard Mayo is absolutely sabotaged, because we're fielding a team that's $36.7 million under the salary cap. And, you know, if they cared about anything, they would have signed a couple of, like remember when Bill used to just sign a bunch of random guys to plug the holes, and, you know, he'd spend the money, he'd spend up to the cap, but you knew that he was, you know, making attempts to fill the roster and to, you know, try to win games. We had two tackles on the free agent market this year, and neither one of them were cost prohibitive by any stretch of the word, and they didn't even bother. They had no intention. I think they were just really fine, because they know Mayo was just glad to be there. I'm upset with this team. I'm upset with ownership. It's not Elliott Wolf. He has a right to checks.
Thanks,
yeah,
Joe.
See, that's the biggest, like, that would be the one thing that I would love to sit down with the Crafts and say, okay, what's the reason that you didn't give Elliott Wolf the green light on saying, all right, we're going to be aggressive, and whether it's free agency, trades, whatever it is, right? We're going to be aggressive, and we're going to spend money on guys that we think are top end players, right? Now, you never know what a guy's going to be. You, like what they did a few years ago, and they went out and they spent money on guys that they, Nelson Aguilar, and, you know, maybe they're not the right guys, but you're at least making an attempt. I would ask, where was that attempt this year, and or why did you say we don't want to do that? What's the reasoning behind not going after some of the top end talent? Because you know that you needed help when it came to the roster, and you knew that.
Yeah, it's just all the slings and arrows that used to go directly to Bill are now just going directly to Gerard, and I don't see a big change in this season at all. And I think when Curtis talks about it, he puts it on Bill, that it's a bad look for Bill. I think it's a bad look for the Crafts. You know, you change your head coach, you go from the greatest in of all time to a guy that's on the come up, and you add an unbelievable quarterback, and you still sit here and look at all the talent on the team around Drake and, you know, Christian Gonzalez, Christian Barmore. I wouldn't get rid of them, but everybody else
I don't really get how it's on Bill. I mean, Bill, did he miss on some of the guys that he drafted? All right, yeah. I mean, but every GM does that. Mm-hmm. I don't really know how it's on him.
Yeah, it's not like Bill left you in cap jail. Ton of money to spend in the offseason, and you chose not to.
Right. We know that there was players that were possibly available, you know? I mean, I don't know. Maybe if you have Calvin Ridley, is your passing game a little bit better? Probably so, but you chose not to go in that direction, or, you know, he chose another option because maybe you didn't give him more money. You did try to go after Brandon Ayuk. He chose to go back to San Fran. Okay, if that doesn't work, let's see if there's somebody else we can, you know, go after that might be of higher value, or that is more productive. I mean, that's what you're going to look at this year. It was a cool little thing that I did on Keith and Jones and Keith. And, like, I would ask both of you, you know, and I kind of, we did it a little bit yesterday, but, you know, what would you do? You got 60 seconds. What would you do to change this team moving forward? And I think when you look at next year, isn't it, you just have to be super aggressive?
Yes.
And whether it's the trade market, whether it's free agency.
Acquiring talent.
Mm-hmm. But acquiring top-end talent.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that to me is the biggest thing, is acquiring top-end proven talent where you feel comfortable saying, all right, like, or my expectations that this guy is going to be a very, very good player, not like, you know, we're kind of rolling. Like, when you got Jonnu Smith, I was like, all right, it's a good move, but is it, you know, is he going to do anything? Versus getting bringing in a guy that you know has put up legitimate numbers.
All right, well, while we roll into the 9 o'clock hour, we still have a lot to get to. We'll have Nick Kostos joining us at 9:30. Before that, at 9:20, we're going to do Wiggy Not Like the Rest of Us Shime.
Yes.
Good one there. And we also did our top three moments of the year. Shime was obviously sick, so I want to get to Shime's in the 9 o'clock hour as well. Reminisce on some of the great moments of the Greg Hill Show in 2024. Before we go to break, Johnny Cakes from Twitch has been hanging on for quite some time. So good morning, Johnny.
Morning, my queen. Hey, just to piggyback on the 99... My daughter is a bartender at the Danvers one. Please go and heckle her. And with Wiggy, great lead today, bro. That was inspirational. I just lost a dear friend. And Courtney, can you ask Mitch to look on Local Legends? I sent in a picture of her and I. She just passed on December 6th, and she was at Bernie's roadshow this year.
Oh.
I really would like that picture up in the collage. I just sent it in this past week.
Oh, okay, Johnny. I'll get that for you and get that to Mitch so we can add it to the collage. So sorry for your loss.
Yeah, sorry for your loss, brother.
No problem. Thank you, guys. Merry Christmas, and shout out to Rocco.
Okay, Merry Christmas. Mm. That's Johnny Cakes from the Twitch. So we will be right back. We got to get to some Celtics talk, and we will get to Wiggy Not Like the Rest of Us, Nick Kostos, and so much more on this Greg Hill Show on a Friday. Welcome back to the Greg Hill Show. Courtney in for Greg. Wiggy's here. Shime's here. Jackson's here. Curtis and Greg already all on their break. And we did our top three moments earlier in the week. I believe on Wednesday we went through them. And Shime was out sick. So I wanted a chance to make sure that Shime got his top three moments. Mitch has the graphic up for those watching on Twitch and YouTube. But we start, and this was on a lot of people's lists, Shime. Olivia Culpo show and the snub.
Just amazing.
Oh, okay.
That drop will live forever just because it makes me giggle every single time I hear it. Like, there's just no doubt in my mind. Every time I hear this, I'm going to laugh.
You guys, I've never heard of this name in my life.
All right, that's always a good one.
It was a good one. The second one, the only other person that had this on their list was me.
All right.
The Joe Landry interview, the Veterans Day show. He was a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, he was so awesome. That was such a great interview. I think that was one of the brightest spots of the show all year long. So I had to include that in my best three moments.
And you gave a little nod to me, the flower debacle.
Yeah. That was tremendous because I think we were all arguing with you about flowers, and Santo did a great job at bringing home flowers, even though they weren't the flowers you wanted.
Well, they were potted plants.
Plants,
they were
great.
And it's still flowers.
They were all very different. And then Jack from Providence, a great listener of the show, showed up at the studio with flowers for me. Very nice.
Very nice. Look at that.
So those are your top three moments of the year. I like it. This is always very interesting this upcoming weekend because some people will have Christmas parties. Santo and I are going to lay low because it's a long marathon of a week next week. And so I'm going to do my Christmas movie marathon. I haven't watched The Holiday yet. I haven't watched Four Christmases yet. I've watched The Santa Claus, but not 2, 3, 4. I think there's only 4.
Is that the one with Tim Allen?
Yeah.
There's 4 of those?
I think there's 4.
I think there's like a new one that just came out not too long ago.
Yeah, there was.
Like
there
within
was,
the past couple of years.
Are you going to watch that
TV
new...
show, I think.
Are you going to watch the new Red One on Amazon Prime?
What's that?
That's the one with The Rock.
The Rock and J.K. Simmons and Chris Pratt.
And what's
Chris Pratt. Chris Evans.
What's the other one? There's that one with The Rock.
Yeah.
And then what's the other one with Jack Black? Dare Santa?
Oh, I haven't heard of that
either.
Oh, Jackson's giving a thumbs up. Yeah, Dear Santa.
Yeah, it's like Jack Black. He's like, it's like a, you know, any movies he's in, it's comedy. He's like a Santa, but he's like a devilish Santa. So he's like a Santa that, you know, does like nefarious things.
It's interesting that you would like a new Christmas movie, though, because whenever we have this debate, you go way old school.
Yeah,
like,
I
you
don't.
Like the Christmas story.
No,
a Christmas story.
I like a Christmas story. My wife likes it more than I do, but I'm just like my Wiggy family. Tradition is It's a Wonderful Life. We mm-hmm. always watch that because I remember as a kid growing up, like it was always on television. And, you know, you remember sitting there, you know, in the parlor on the floor watching it. And it's something that, you know, it's kind of the nostalgic thing, but that's kind of really what I watch. Like, I'm not big into, and I was just having this conversation, like even with my boys, I'm not big into watching movies that I already saw. Again and again and again.
I love that. It's like a comfort. Really?
I see it once, I'm good.
Yeah, like, unless I just happen to stumble upon it and I get caught in it.
You get Shawshank?
Yeah, right. But if I'm, like, looking for a movie to watch, I don't go, oh, I want to watch something that I already saw. I'm always looking for, I want to see something that I haven't seen. I'm not really big into watching because I'm like, I know it's going to happen. Unless I hadn't seen it in a long time and I stumble into it, I just don't.
Oh, my God.
Because like, I'm like, I don't get how people will see a movie and then a couple days later go back and see the same movie.
Well, because you don't want to miss anything. And I think sometimes seeing it a second time is better than the first.
Really?
Because you just know, you get excited
for certain
scenes. But
don't you know everything that's going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, you know the outcome, but that's fine. I mean, I'm a creature of habit.
I feel like I wasted 2 hours.
I'm a creature of habit. So there are Christmas movies that I need to watch every single year. I have to say, great recommendation. I forget who brought it up first, but The Carry On on Netflix, mm-hmm. new Christmas movie that is like a...
What the hell's his name? Tyler Egerton?
Or Taron Egerton?
The kid from Kingsman.
And what's his face? Is the
Jason Bateman.
Jason Bateman mm-hmm. is so
not
good.
Really a Christmas. Is it not really a Christmas
yeah,
movie?
Yeah, it is. It takes place on Christmas Eve.
Oh, okay, but it's more like
kinda
a
Die Hard. Yeah.
So you're a Die Hard as a Christmas movie
yeah,
person?
Yeah. Well, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It's not.
I don't know how anybody. I wouldn't watch Die Hard unless it was the Christmas season.
What?
Right.
Yeah.
No, Die Hard, it could have been any, Christmas was not essential to the plot. It could have been any holiday or any work party.
Yeah.
It was a holiday party, though.
Yeah, it just happened to be a holiday party. Yeah. Does that mean Batman 89 is a holiday movie, too?
No, there was so much more to it because it was around the holidays and, like, the family element. Oh, my God, imagine this happening right around the holidays. Oh, it's 100% a Christmas movie.
No, it's
not.
I think Harry Potter 1 is a Christmas movie.
So any movie that...
what are we doing?
So, in your mind, any movie that takes place in the movie where it might be Christmas, you consider that a Christmas movie?
Yeah.
So if it takes place around Thanksgiving, is that considered a holiday movie?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, that's weird.
100%.
There are no Thanksgiving movies.
I also, if you're not in the mood to watch Christmas movies, maybe you're Christmas movied out, other TV to watch, great recommendation from Wiggy. Tulsa King, 10 out of 10.
Ooh, Sylvester Stallone.
Yes, so good. Landman, so good. Yellowstone's over, Lioness
Landman,
is over.
Landman, the one with Billy Bob Thornton?
Yes.
Got it.
And his ex-wife and his daughter are two very attractive women for the men watching.
Shime, there's a movie called Thanksgiving, and a movie about a killer.
It's a
killer.
Murder, yeah.
Yeah, it's about a killer who kills on Thanksgiving. So I guess
Thanksgiving movie.
So I guess in the world of, because I'm with you, Shime, I don't consider Die Hard a Christmas movie. I consider a Christmas movie a movie that is really about Christmas.
Because like The Nightmare Before Christmas, Yeah, is that a Halloween movie or a Christmas movie?
Christmas movie.
Is it though? Because
yes.
It's more Halloween.
I know you were trying to get me with that one, but it's a Christmas
movie. No, just asking the question.
I guess in the world that Courtney lives in, that any movie that's based or like just takes place on Christmas, they don't even have to do anything with Christmas, is considered a Christmas movie, or any movie that has like takes place on a holiday is considered a holiday movie.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah, I think Die Hard's an action movie.
I agree.
That's based on Christmas. All right, well, what do you think? Call us at 617-779-7937. You can also text the Subaru of New England text line. Find your authorized Subaru retailer at SubaruofNewEngland.com. That's also 617-779-7937. We are about to enter the 9 o'clock hour. We will be back right after this.